You are listening to Sustainable Sounds.
Sustainable Sounds is the podcast from the Fife branch of the Scottish Green Party. Teo McLeod talks to those who are making a difference. Check out the Scottish Greens website at greens.scot.
This is Cameron Glasgow of the West Lothian Greens, and this is the Sustainable Sounds podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Sustainable Sounds, the podcast produced by the Fife branch of the Scottish Green Party. I'm Teo McLeod, and I am sat here with a particularly interesting interviewee, Cameron Glasgow.
Hello, it's lovely to be here.
How are you, Cameron?
I'm good. Very busy at the moment with the election campaign sort of kick-starting, and as we come out of restrictions, being able to do more things, but generally good spirits.
Now, you have a variety of roles within the Green Party and politics more broadly. I believe that you are the council candidate for the upcoming local elections.
Yes, yeah, I am standing in Livingston South in West Lothian. It's actually a ward that I was born in, and I have went to school here, I've worked here, I went to college here. So it's a ward I know very well. And I stood in the recent by-election we had, where we gained our highest ever vote in Livingston with 4.2%. And it's something that I'm extremely privileged to be able to do again, represent the Greens in Livingston.
So you are a local person wanting to do good stuff in the local ways?
Yeah. I think most people that know me will know how much I love Livingston. And it's something that I think not a lot of people actually say and talk about, is growing up in Livingston is fairly bland. It's a new town, it's a commuter town. So a lot of what we have is a shopping centre. But I think if you look at what Livingston was built to be, we have the opportunity to build something so much better and so much greater, and use the communities that we already have to construct that. And I know that certainly the people in the West Lothian Greens have heard me talk about this a lot, but Livingston is such a big and growing place. And I think in years to come, it could be a really important place for Greens and the left movement as a whole. We have one of the youngest populations in Scotland. So being able to capitalise on that and bring success to Livingston for the Greens and for our movement is exactly what I'm hoping to do.
When are the local council elections? When can people vote for you?
So it's on the 5th of May. That is Thursday. It's first Thursday of May. And we are hoping to, for the first time ever, select all 9 candidates for the 9 wards in West Lothian. And we're also going for the goal of winning our first ever councillor to sort of boost the Lothian representation of Greens.
Vote Green. Get out there and vote Green. Now, tell us a bit more about yourself, please. We know that you are the candidate for Livingston in the local elections on Thursday, the 5th of May.
Yeah.
Vote Green. Say that again. Vote Green.
Vote Green.
And what else do we need to know about you?
Yeah. So I have a few different roles that I do at the moment and roles I've previously had. So I used to be on the Elections and Campaigns Committee, ECC, through the Holyrood elections. For 3 years, I was the acting convener of West Lothian. So when I joined the party, the West Lothian branch didn't really exist. I took on the role by myself and ran a couple of election campaigns. And I'm now happy to announce that we're in a position where we have elected co-conveners. So myself and my friend Pamela, we are now the co-conveners of West Lothian. So that's one of my other roles. And then a role that I also have is I work for Lorna Slater, MSP, in the Scottish Parliament.
Lorna Slater is, of course, the co-convener of the National Scottish Green Party and a member of Scottish Parliament and part of the cabinet, isn't she?
She's not a member of the cabinet. That would be a cabinet secretary. She's just a minister. But she does have a lot more responsibility than any Green has ever had in Scotland before. This is the first time anywhere in the UK we've even had Green ministers. So it's very interesting to work with a minister. A lot of my work doesn't happen with the ministerial office. That's all done by independent civil servants. And there's not a lot of crossover that's allowed to happen there for obvious reasons. But we do actually get quite a lot of stuff that happens around those areas and in the Lothian region, sort of pushing the tool libraries and the circular economy is something that we've been working on quite strongly.
What's your day-to-day? What do you work on? Like, what today? What have you been working on recently?
Yeah, so day-to-day, my main job in normal times would be lodging parliamentary motions and questions. However, that is a role that a minister doesn't do. So I have taken sort of a very different role now where I deal a lot with her diary and making sure she is where she needs to be, which for a minister is absolutely chaotic. Her diary is all over the place at a lot of times with meetings with one person there, and then in 20 minutes she's got a meeting with an international corporation. So making sure she's going to these events, but also managing to keep her in track with the party and the Green group of MSPs, because there's six other MSPs there who there's constant coordination needed. And in previous years, when we were all in the same corridor, all in the office together, that was a lot easier. But now with coronavirus lockdown and Lorna and Patrick are in a different building in Parliament, the communication there is really key. So I've been trying to sort of keep them welded to the group. But also, apart from making sure Lorna is where she needs to be, a lot of what I do is also sort of policy and community outreach in the Lothian region. So something that I'm very passionate on is water pollution. It's something that West Lothian has had major problems with on the River Amond, but it's something that spreads across the whole of the Lothian region, but also across Scotland. And so just today, I've been working quite along with the East Lothian branch on, there's recently been a pollution event in the River Esk, and we've been working our response to that. And I've had meetings with SEPA, the Scottish Environment Protection Agency, and other stakeholders just to try and find out where we are and why things were not moving as well as we wanted.
Aside from the obvious environmental concerns about biodiversity and just the unsightliness of pollution, the unsightliness of polluting a nice bit of scenery, why is this cause so important?
Yeah, so I got involved with this at the start of 2021. And it was really because of a local group to me, the River Amond Action Group, who had set up as a group to push the council, the government, the SEPA to take further action on pollution in the River Amond. And it's something I'd been aware of a good 3 or 4 years ago. I made a complaint to Scottish Water because there was a massive dump of sewage into the river. And it actually caused flooding on the banks of the river. And this is a country park where I myself and my family have walked our dogs. I know my aunt walks her dogs. I know other people that have even swam in the river. So that sort of was where it started for me. And then during lockdown, this group popped up and I got involved in their committee in sort of a non-voting sort of advisor way, because I didn't want to lean in too much with Green politics on their group. So it's been really interesting sort of learning about how the water pollution and how the regulations around that work. And at the moment, there is a bathing waters application going in for the River Amond, which would be the first in Scotland to have a bathing water status. And that would mean that the water has to be set at a certain quality. And if it's not at that, then the Environmental Protection Agency and Scottish Water and other stakeholders have to clean up the river and they have to monitor that level. So ideally, we would want that in as many places as possible and to stop the sewage. However, one of the key problems that we've got is Scotland runs on a Victorian system of plumbing, where our sewage and our rainwater go into the same drains. So the minute it rains, our sewage works get overflowing. And the only other option, except from exploding, is to dump that water somewhere. And for many of these places, it's into rivers and into the ocean, which is not an ideal scenario. So we've been sort of working to fix that. And to come back to your original question, so obviously, as a public health concern, having sewage and other pollutants in water, especially rivers like the River Amond, where people do swim and people take their dogs, the River Esk, which runs through Musselburgh, very similar situation. The SSPCA have just had to rescue 5 swans from the River Esk after a pollution event there. And this isn't isolated to Scotland. In England, their rivers are just as bad. And we've been working quite a lot to coordinate with groups in England and Wales and sort of trying to sweep change across the British Isles.
Hey there, this is Colin McEwan, and you are listening to the Sustainable Sounds podcast.
So, we are back with our guest musician for this first season of Sustainable Sounds, Colin McEwan. Hey, Colin.
Hello there, great to be back.
Can you reintroduce yourself to our lovely listeners, and maybe hopefully some new ones who haven't heard the first episodes in this series?
I can indeed. Hello, everybody. It's Colin McEwan, singer and songwriter, musician, storyteller, bus driver, coach driver, general stuff. And I live in a little village called Luthry, which is in northeast Fife. And I sing songs, tell stories, and generally enjoy engaging with people.
Can you tell us a bit more about your musical inspirations?
Musical inspirations, yes. It was a time when I just went in my adolescence when I was offered free guitar lessons by a teacher at school, and I got into just sitting on the guitar and holding it and hugging it and feeling comforted by it. It was really Paul Simon's songs that really got me started. Simple, heartfelt. That got me going. And realizing you could tell stories with a guitar. It was just wonderful. Following on from that, I suppose Neil Young, John Martin, Crosby, Stills and Nash, that kind of stuff. And then friends who I sat and played guitar with as well. One particular friend, Dave, at one time, who's a remarkable guitarist. And I just would watch him and watch what he did and learn from him. And a lot of what I've learned, I enjoy learning from people. So a lot of my inspiration has come from people. I hear things and I think that's really interesting. And then somebody around me demonstrate something that I look at and go, oh, that's interesting. I like that.
So you are offering us up a different song this week.
Indeed.
What is this week's song?
This week's song is called Stronger. And I wrote this in Edinburgh Prison with a group of women that I was working with. And it was a storytelling project. And I titled the project, I Am the Story I Tell. And it was looking at how do we tell our own story? How do we retell our own story? And in so doing, it reshaped our sense of ourselves and our situation, our experience. And we started off dealing with the anger, really. And I just sat and listened and they told me stuff. And we started off with a funny song about welcoming everybody to prison, called it the welcome song, the big house hotel, because everybody thinks going to prison is just a hotel. Well, not everybody, but there's that sort of red top thing of hotel, prisons are hotels. So we'd like to welcome you today. Hope you enjoy your stay. We did this whole thing, went through all the stuff that they experienced. And then I sang the song that I sang last time. I sang Save the Universe, a song I'd written for my son. And one of the women said that she'd like to write a song for her daughter to say that she'd never do any of the stuff that she'd done before. The problem was that chances were that she would. And then we got talking about how they felt about leaving prison. And what came up was fear. They would be on their own. You end up the only people you might possibly know, or the only circumstances you'll end up in are those that had led you to where you are right then in front of me in prison. So we talked about that, and it was really, and it was very open and very honest. And then one of the women talked about having the come across the Japanese aesthetic, whereby something that's fixed is actually worth more. So when you repair it with gold, you repair something. And she felt that she felt she'd been broken into 1,000 pieces, but she would mend. And so I thought that's really powerful. It's a really, that's something you can assert. You know, the one promise you can make. That previous woman had said she wanted to, what can you promise? She wanted to promise her daughter something. Well, that's a promise that you'll break. So what can you promise to do? And you can promise yourself that though you may be broken, you will be stronger and you'll grow stronger. So that's how the song came, Stronger. And we sang it together. We all sang it. We sang it, performed it a couple of times in front of audiences. The funders turned up one day unexpectedly and they sat and sang it. And they meant it. It was their song. They told me things. I wrote them down. I said, is this what you mean? We wrote it out, got it, nailed what they felt. And it was theirs. It was a really, really powerful experience.
Where can people find out what's happening next for you?
What's happening next for me? I'm going to be putting stuff up on facebook.com/Luthrie Lockdown. Listings of what we're doing will be there. Plus the odd photograph of Luthrie. So you can see the beauty of the environs here. Luthrie Lockdown on Facebook. You can also find on YouTube, you can find some videos of me and Yvonne from the summer of lockdown on YouTube, Luthrie Lockdown.
Let's give the song a listen.
These grey walls that keep me in, and the walls that keep me safe. But I know I'll have to face the fear as I'm walking out those gates. When the hunger starts, when the anger grows, ain't so bad, worse than you'll ever know. Don't know where to run, don't know where to go. I may be broken in 1,000 ways, I'll mend stronger than before. Stronger, 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 stronger. I may be broken in 1,000 ways, I'll mend stronger than before. Caused hurt, I've caused pain, done things I said I'd never do again. But I know it's me that has to change. Right now there's no denying, and I'm just gonna keep on trying. Maybe broken in 1,000 ways, but I will heal. Hear me say, maybe broken in 1,000 ways, I'll mend. Stronger, 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 stronger. Maybe broken in 1,000 ways, I'll mend stronger than before. Maybe broken in 1,000 ways, but I will heal. Hear me say.
You are listening to Sustainable Sounds.
I want to bring it back to you a little bit more.
Yeah.
You seem to have gained quite a lot of experience. If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 21.
Wow. You've been busy.
I have. I sometimes I don't necessarily feel 21. But yeah, I've been involved in politics since I was 17. Really started getting active when I turned 18. I bumped into and my adopted Leith branch or Leith sub-branch of the Greens was where I really started to get involved, because when I joined, West Lothian didn't really have the network. So Leith took me in, and from there, things have sort of spiraled from helping Edinburgh with their social media to taking on West Lothian to running for Westminster in 2019. I was the youngest candidate in Scotland. So from there, things have sort of spiraled to a position where I am now, where I decided to not go to university. I had a place there. I deferred it for a year, and then it came to this point where I was like, at this point in my life, I was 20. I had just ran for election. I had a job in the office of Alison Johnston, and I was realizing very quickly that I was gaining a lot more experience and being able to do a lot more through work and through actually hands-on things than through academia. So I finished college, I set university to one side and never went, and just focused very much on campaigning and on trying to make Scotland a fairer and greener country, because that's ideally the end goal here.
To be fair, that's probably quite a smart idea. I went back to college in my mid-20s, and by that point I knew what I wanted to do. So many people at 18, they decide to do a degree and then never actually use it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I was scared of. I was going to be studying Scottish history, because history is something that I've been fascinated in for years and years. I took it all the way throughout high school, and it was something I really wanted to do. But at the same time, I was getting drawn into politics, and it was more of this was pressing. This is what I felt like I needed to do, and I needed to be able to get this off my conscience, because the looming climate emergency. When I left school, the IPCC report that said we had to take action by 2030, that had only just came out, if not was about to. So that sort of pushed me to take that step and to actually try and do something about it. And I've never ruled out going to college or university later on, because certainly politics isn't something I want to do with my life. It's not something I want to be in forever. This very much is a trying to make change and trying to make a better country for myself and for the future generations. So at some point, my end goal that in recent years I've come to want to move to is into teaching and into, after we have saved the planet and saved the future, actually being able to bring those generations with us and educate. And that's sort of my longer term plans. But obviously at the moment, there's the very looming climate emergency that I and the Greens are hoping to tackle.
Now, part of that program for you of finding a solution is to become a politician, a local councillor. What have you learned from Lorna Slater that you will take on to your absolutely nailed on position as a Livingston councillor?
Yeah, well, I think what's really lovely about having Lorna in politics is she's not a politician, she's an engineer. So something I learned very quickly when I started working for Lorna was she's not going to sit back and let other people do the work and ask the questions. She's just going to go and do it. So having that sort of ability to go, I'm just going to do this now. I'm going to try and find a solution to this. And that's really something that I find really impressive. During the negotiations for the cooperation agreement, it was very much sort of an engineered process. And it was very late nights, all this sort of stuff. And Lorna's commitment to that was amazing. But also her down-to-earth sort of just common way of speech, I think, is really impressive. And it's something that I caught on to during the Holyrood election campaign was when you had Lorna standing there with the other party leaders, the person talking to the people was Lorna, whereas I felt like everyone else was talking in political jargon, which is something that Lorna obviously was never involved in as an engineer. So I think especially for councils, where councils are massively politicised. At the moment in West Lothian, we have a West Lothian Tory coalition that essentially their aim is just to make everything about the union. And quite frankly, when it comes to local politics, we should be talking about getting our children educated, our bins, and stopping litter, not talking about something happening a couple hundred miles down the road in London. So I think being able to have that down-to-earth politics and really take on the task at hand is something that I've taken from Lorna, and that's something that she's doing in government.
Now, when you're not saving the planet or involved in politics, what do you do?
That is a good question. I have been on the hunt for a hobby for a long time now, because previously politics was my hobby, is what I did in my spare time. I used to work in hospitality. I worked hospitality for 4 or 5 years before getting a job in politics. So I'm now in the position where my job is also what I do in my spare time. So the hunt for a hobby is on, and Lorna is trying to get me into acrobatics and the swinging from ropes, but it's certainly not something I would be very good at. And a couple other MSPs have suggested particular hobbies that they have, but I sort of need to find something for myself now, because it's been 2 years that I've been working in politics and I do have a limit. I need to find something. So I'll hopefully get there someday.
If you run a social group in the West Lothian area and are recruiting for more members, please contact West Lothian Green Branch.
You can join the Scottish Greens at greens.scot/join.
Now, moving on.
Yep.
I want to find out a little bit more about your branch of the Green Party. You are the co-convener of the West Lothian Greens.
Indeed, yes, along with Pamela Barnes, who is our fantastic candidate for Linlithgow.
Vote Green. Tell us why West Lothian Greens are almost as good as the Five Greens.
Well, so at the moment, the West Lothian Greens are a sub-branch of Edinburgh, and that is purely because when I joined, there was nothing there. So I've spent 3 years sort of trying to build up this branch and get people to come together. So in 2019, we ran two candidates at the Westminster election, which is the first time we've ever done that. And it was really just sort of a test to get the Greens name out there. We ran our first leafleting sessions and stalls during the Euro elections in that year. And then come this year, we managed to actually distribute more leaflets than we've ever done before. So it's been a really amazing journey that we've been on for the last few years, and being able to bring more people on board to the point where we're almost able to run a candidate in every ward for the first time ever, which is our first goal. Our final goal is obviously winning a councillor. And I feel like we're now in a position where that's entirely possible. And it's absolutely amazing to me that we could win our first councillor, because outside Edinburgh, only Mid Lothian have ever had a Green councillor. And being able to link up Lorna and Holyrood, I'm sure what will be an expanded group of Edinburgh councillors and other Green councillors across the Lothian region, we'll be in a very strong position to be leading the Lothian region.
How do you aim to do that? What are the stepping stones that you've got in place?
Yeah, so at the moment, sort of everything's looking on May. So in a couple of weeks, we're starting our first canvassing sessions. We've had to do training and sort of bring in people that have been canvassing before. So I've been canvassing before when I was involved with the Leith Greens, and a couple other members have been involved with the Green Party of England and Wales, and they've came up. So we're sort of sharing a lot of experience. So a lot of what we're doing at the moment is trying to get to the point where the other branches are in the party. I imagine Fife Branch, you have a wealth of experience, whereas we're fairly new. We don't have that experience and that knowledge that older, more experienced members have. So we're building that bank at the moment, and we're hoping to be out canvassing in Linlithgow in a couple of weeks' time, and hopefully not stop from there, and offering an alternative to what is a fairly horrific Labour and Tory coalition in West Lothian, because we've had 2 years now of rent rises during a pandemic where Edinburgh Council, thanks to the Greens, managed to freeze the rent. However, in West Lothian, that's continued to go up. So it's went up 3% every year. And something ideally that we want the Greens to be able to do and change is be able to actually say, no, that's not right. We need to be actually listening to the people and giving the people a break, because we're facing an energy crisis, a food crisis, and now you're putting people's bills up even more. It's not fair. So Greens are going to be the alternative at the election. And that's sort of what we're building up to at the moment. We're working on our local policies and what we can do to make that happen.
So you're looking to be the alternative vote?
Well, yeah.
We are looking to be the alternative vote here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's, I think the days of the thought process of voting Green is a weighted vote is a misnomer these days. If you vote Green, your vote actually counts for something, because look at the Scottish Parliament.
Yeah.
By voting Green, we've actually helped to shape the Scottish budget, so therefore the economy and a broad range of other policies. Vote Green and we can actually make a difference.
Yeah, and I think something that is going to be really important coming into this election is, because we're running, it's multi-member wards, the Greens in most areas of the country, if not all areas of the country, will be running one candidate, whereas other parties will be running two or three. And the really important thing that we need to stress is that if we want the massive impact that Greens can have on councils, you need to rank the Greens in your first and second slots, because third and fourth is when candidates start to get knocked out. The SNP are almost certainly going to win a massive majority in most councils across the country. Labour are going to be clinging on. And ideally, if we want there to be a difference maker there, we want Greens to be a kingmaker in councils, we need those votes from Labour people who are wanting to save the environment, from the SNP who are fed up with how centrist their party are being. We really need those votes. And that's something that I think we saw at Holyrood, was the SNP message of both votes SNP. It didn't really work. And that's something that we've never seen before, was the SNP messaging not working as strongly as it could have. Where I know a lot of SNP members who for the first time gave the Greens their second vote. And that's what we need at this election again, is for that sort of will to happen and for people to vote for a more progressive future.
These are some lovely philosophies. What practical elements have you actually done? What have you done in West Lothian which has had a positive effect on your local area?
Yeah, so I think we've been supporting, obviously, the campaign to clean up the river. And we've also been, Pamela has been working strongly in the community in Linlithgow to be able to boost the Greens' presence. Linlithgow is a very strong community town, so a lot of what we're focusing on is improving the community. So a lot of what we're going on is sort of the community making a fairer community, because in a lot of these smaller ruralish towns, they're not very fair and not very open to newcomers. And that's something that obviously Greens are very keen to do. So I think with working with Lorna, we're working on a bunch of campaigns in the Lothian region to make things better. So in Livingston, a massive problem we have is litter. And a lot of the problems come from the bins in Livingston. Just once they get destroyed, because they do get destroyed, unfortunately, they don't get replaced. So a lot of, especially near where I live, we have bus stops without bins. And then the litter starts to pile up, and then it gets blown across the massive car parks we have, because we're a commuter town, so we have huge car parks, and they pile up and pile up. So something we're really keen to sort of fix as a local branch and as an MSP office is to tackle the litter emergency that we have in Livingston. And across West Lothian, it's not just Livingston, but it's certainly something we've noticed a lot more in Livingston. So we're sort of working on fixing the problems that Labour and Tories have ignored for all these years, because West Lothian is looking fairly sad at the moment. That's the problem. And their efforts to fix it have been social media campaigns, when that doesn't fix the litter that sat down the car park in Asda. So we're trying to be practical about things.
Hands on, get involved.
Yeah.
Footsteps on the pavement. Vote green for the alternative hands-on approach.
Yes, exactly. That's what we're going for.
Vote green.
Vote green.
You are listening to Sustainable Sounds.
How can people get involved?
Yeah, so obviously you can join the Scottish Greens. So it's greens.scot/join, and you can go and get to the form, fill it in and join the party. But also, you don't have to be a member of the party to help us campaign. During the Holyrood election, we had locals in Linlithgow out campaigning with us just because they liked our message and they liked Lorna and what we were going for. So if you want to get involved, you can give the branch an email. It's westlothian@scottishgreens.org.uk. And we'll be more than happy to get you involved, bring you along to the campaign meetings we have, and hopefully get your vote and get other people's vote. But also, even just spreading the message on social media, it can do quite a lot. And something that local politics doesn't have out our way is the social presence that national politics has. So we've been looking at the individual councillors and parties in West Lothian, and a shockingly low number have social media accounts or active social media accounts. So being able to spread the green message on social media, where the majority of people are nowadays, is massively helpful. So if you see something pop up, then giving it a share, giving it a like, commenting, it makes a difference now.
Where can people find you and your branch on social media?
Yep. So you can find me on most social medias. I'm Cammy with an I, C-A-M-I. Cammy Glasgow SGP. You'll find me on most social medias with that. And for the West Lothian branch, it's very much similar. It is West Lothian SGP. And that's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Now, you're saying that you don't need to be a member to come help out. If you want to come down, meet some people, try something out, these are the ways: the email address, the social media, the websites.
Yeah.
Scots.net. These are ways that you can communicate with us and find out how to get involved or come to just try things out. If you did want to become a member, it is quite cheap, I believe. It's a monthly subscription fee.
Yep. It's around about £5, I believe. It may be even cheaper for some. So
I believe there's a concession of £1 if you are unemployed or refugee.
There we go.
I believe memberships start at an optional £3 minimum. Then you can pay as much as you want. If you can afford to pay more and you want to pay more, then you can.
There we go.
Apart from campaigning and canvassing, do you have any other activities in West Lothian?
So I used to be involved with the River Amund Action Group. So that was something that I took on sort of to try and help out push their campaign. Because I've seen it a few times happen where a campaign starts up and then they go to the politicians and the politicians ignore them. So something I was really keen was to make sure that they were getting heard and they knew how to get heard. So a lot of what I tried to do was just sort of offer advice on, if you're writing to someone, this is how to do it. This is who to get in contact with and how to do it. So that was very much my role. I've stood back from that now because there is a conflict there of obviously I'm working on a lot of water pollution issues in my job. So there was a conflict there, and I didn't want to get, obviously, myself in trouble or the river group. So that was what I was spending a lot of time on before this job. However, now it's very much just campaigning and trying to get that message out there. And then post-May, there is going to be a massive void in my life when there is no campaigning or anything going on. I'll need to adopt another campaign somewhere to keep me going. But yeah.
Are there any green events coming up in West Lothian?
Yes. So we haven't confirmed the date yet. So if you keep looking at social media, I'm sure you'll find it. Mid-February, our candidate for Linlithgow, Pamela, she is going to be doing a Q&A on women standing in politics and why it's so important to have green voices. So if we get someone elected this May, it will almost certainly be a lone councillor. And it's really important to stress that lone Greens can make a difference. We've seen Pippa in the Highlands. She's made a difference in the council there. In England and Wales, a lot of these councils have sole Green councillors and are making a difference. Gillian Mackay, first ever MSP for Central Scotland, is a lone MSP. So a lot of these sort of comparisons of Greens doing really well by themselves and cooperating with others is what we're trying to get across and something we're trying to be built on. So we're going to have that event coming up in mid-February sometime. So keep an eye out for that. You can join the Scottish Greens at greens.scot/join.
As we begin to wind up, can you remind people how they can find out more about you, about West Lothian Greens and the Green Party in general?
Yep. So your best place to find out about the West Lothian Greens and myself is social media. I'm very active on social media, and so is West Lothian Greens. We have a fantastic team working on that. We also share a website with the Edinburgh Greens. So you can just Google Edinburgh Greens or West Lothian Greens and the website comes up. It's got candidates, it's got everything you need to know on it. If you want to know more about the Greens, I mean, the best place to go is definitely to the website greens.scot. And that has how to join, what we're doing, it has news. And once you've joined, it has a members area where you can find out more in depth of what we're doing. Or also just email your local branch. So I believe almost every branch has an email address, if not all of them. Get in touch. It is volunteers running the branches, so it may be slow to get back, but they'll be more than happy to help you get involved or tell you more about the party or policies or whatever. And also, if you have concerns or problems about what Scotland's going down, Greens have MSPs in almost every area of Scotland. So you can go to the Scottish Parliament website, find who your MSP is, drop them an email, and they'll be more than happy to help.
How can people help out and support the West Lothian Greens and the Greens in general?
Yep. Obviously, running elections is expensive and something that we're going to be doing over the coming months, and I'm sure many branches are, and the National Party as well, is running crowdfunders. So if you're able to donate, anything you can donate would be massively appreciated in helping West Lothian elect their first ever Green. However, as I said earlier, coming along and helping, if you're not a member or if you have some spare time, is equally as important as the money, because you can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have anyone out there actually spreading the message, then there's no point. So that's something that's really important, is getting people out on the doorsteps, getting the message into people's homes. And as I said earlier on, social media sharing is massively important now as well. And how to help the Greens is voting Green on the 5th of May, giving Greens your first preference vote, massively important to changing the layout of Scotland's councils and local authorities. But also in elections to come, who knows, we could have a Westminster election coming up, and who knows, we could have first ever Scottish Green MP.
Sit next to the fabulous member for Brighton.
Yes.
Alan Lucas, what are your hopes and plans for the future?
I suppose my number one plan, that is almost the only thing I have in my vision at the moment, is getting a councillor in May. That is what I'm spending a lot of time on, and we have full team spending hours and hours every week working on. Following that, being able to sort of link onto the Lothian Green Network, as I said earlier on, and delivering the change in the Lothian region would be massively important to me. And hopefully my exit point, if this was a business strategy, my exit point would be to be in a position where Scotland is doing everything it can on the climate emergency. And as an independent nation in Europe, we're leading the world and leading Europe down a path of better energy, better transport, and better social policy.
Cameron Glasgow, Scottish Greens council candidate for Livingston Ward.
Yep.
Of West Lothian Greens. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been lovely.
This has been a Half Court Press production by Teo McLeod for the Scottish Green Party. Music was provided by Colin McEwen. Thank you.